want to say good morning to everyone. We're so happy to be here. We have been looking forward with anticipation for coming here. We've been in contact with Jeff, and he's been corresponding with us, and we're just so happy to be here. And we're thankful that we had a safe trip. The pilot was okay coming, but when we got to Huntsville, he hit the tarmac pretty hard, so I was a little afraid of that. But other than that, we had a real good trip, and we were happy to be here. And we're just so grateful. So we'll get to know you more and more as we're here. I'm going to try to remember names. So far, I have Jeff's and Leah's down. but I'm going to try to remember names, and so be patient with me. And so if I ask you several times, then that's fine. I want to ask you today, I want to talk about a good name. Jeff told me he wanted me to deal with things pertaining, the problems dealing with the church today, dangers dealing with the church today. And I think one of the most important things is for us to have a good influence on people. And for us to have a good influence on people, we have to have a good name. Because if we're not living right, nobody wants to hear what we have to say. And so Proverbs says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. And so we understand that. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And so, do we have a good name? That's what I wanted to really talk about today. Do we have a good name, a good reputation? Can you say you have a good reputation? I hope so. Reputation is something we have to, respect. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with these four players here from the Alabama football team, and we might have some Alabama fans here, so don't shoot me. but they had, I think what happened with them is that they had robbed some people, and they also had some credit card fraud. And so what do you think when they get ready to apply for another team or apply for a job? What do you think will happen with that? They have ruined the good name. A good name is something we have to. These two players here from Steubenville football players, they were found guilty for raping a teenage girl. And so we need to understand a good name is something that we really, really need to protect. And I'm gonna go past this here. Why do we need to protect the good name? Because what happens when we get ready to apply for a school? If you don't have a good name or good reputation, what happens when you apply for a job? You ever ask somebody to use their name as a reference? I had somebody call me the other day to use my name as a reference, and it was from the finance company. I don't know if they weren't paying or something. So that shows you that we have to maintain a good reputation in order to have a good influence on the community. The dangers facing the church today is that many Christians, nobody in the world wants to listen to them because of their reputation. A reputation is something we need when we're put some name down, by the name down for reference. What about when we're going to get married? And you bring the young man home, and mother's going to grill him, and dad is going to grill him, and where you been, and what about your family, and what about, we want to know all those things. So a good reputation is hinged on all of that stuff, because the Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So I think it is something that we need to protect. Why do we need a good reputation? Let's look at some examples. You remember they chose the seven in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 6, they chose the seven. In Acts 6, 1, so the 12 summons the congregations, and the disciples said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select among you seven men of a good reputation. Why is that? Because those are the people who the congregation will listen to. Those are the people who will have more influence. And it shows you the importance of a good reputation. Acts 16:1, it says, and Paul came also to to Derbe and to Lystra, and the disciples were there named Timothy, and the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but the father was Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Timothy had a good reputation. Remember Acts 9:26. You remember when Paul was going to be introduced to the group, and everybody said, well, we know Paul. That's the one that's killing all the Christians. And he had to have somebody to vouch for him. And Acts 9:26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, and he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and I can't blame them, and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him in to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken of him. And so he needed somebody to vouch for him. 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2, I'm going to get Eric to read some scriptures for me. Yes, sir.
Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, mm-hmm. which wage war against your soul.
Right.
Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, mm-hmm. so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. I think that's one of the problems that's facing the church today, is that we're not living in the way that we can speak to somebody. We're not living in a way to have an influence on them because of our reputation. And so that's something that I think we really, really need to protect. So we need to protect our reputation. How do we protect our reputation? First thing I came up with is choose your friends wisely. You know, you can be affected by your friends. One person, I think, in Fort Lauderdale, he was riding in the car with somebody, and the person went into the 7-Eleven. I don't know if you have 7-Elevens down here. The convenience store. He robbed the store. The guy in the car didn't know anything about it. He came back to the car and got in the car and started driving, and he got in trouble for his friends. In order to protect your reputation, you got to choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 1:10 say, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and the whole like those who go down to the pit. And so we need to really choose our friends. How do we protect our reputation? We need to choose our friends wisely. We don't need nefarious or immoral or despicable friends. We need to choose our friends wisely, because you never know what's going to happen and what's going to be affected by that. So we really need to choose our friends wisely. I'm going to skip that. Another thing I thought of is you need to keep your word. I know I'm telling you something, deep things. But we really need to keep our word. If we say we're going to do it, let's do it. You say you're going to be there, you know how far that goes. You ever did business with somebody and they say they were going to be there at 10 and they showed up at 11? You know how that, for as Christians, how we protect our reputation, we need to keep our word. It's real simple. Just keep our word. If we say we're going to do something, we really need to do it. We need to maintain our integrity, our truthfulness, and our reliability. Matthew 5:37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these come to evil. Just keep your word. You say you're going to do something, just do it. How do we protect our reputation? By thinking before we speak. Have you ever said something and you wish you could just take it back? You thought, why did I say that? I know I'm not the only one in the room that's ever done that. By protecting, but thinking before you speak. I can imagine Adam and Eve when the devil came to them and the devil in the garden and said, you can eat of this fruit. And I can imagine once they took a bite of that fruit, I can imagine them thinking, man, I just messed up. Have you ever just blurted something out and you're like, I wish I could get those words back? So in order for us to be good people and have a good reputation and for people to have influence, that people will listen to what we have to say, we need to think before we speak. Think before we open our mouths. Because once we speak, we can't get it back. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So that's what we need to do. Let your, Colossians says, Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You ever noticed if you have a good, nice steak, how much better it tastes when you put a little seasoning salt on it? It tastes so much better with a little, and it needs to be the right amount. Too much salt can ruin it. So we need to let our speech be seasoned with salt. And so what we need to do if we're going to maintain this good reputation is to think before we speak. Sometimes our anger takes over and we do not do that. What we need to do is just count. Somebody said count to 10 before you respond. You know, in today's time, another way to protect our reputation is to think before you hit that post button. Is it that image you're putting out there? Is it something that you really need to put out there? Is this an image that God would be happy for? The words that you're, when you hit the send button, the words that you're putting out there, are those words that Christians should betray? I mean, we're living in this society where we post everything's on Facebook. I went to dinner with my kids and it's on Facebook. They say, you're on Facebook. Everything, they tell where you're going, what time you're going to be, what time you're coming back. There's been many places that been down our way, been broken into because they kept up with people on Facebook. You know who else keeps up on Facebook? Employers. Before you apply for a job, guess where they go? They go to Facebook to see, do you have any compromising pictures out there? Or do you have any posts? Children today, you really have to think about this, because the employees use the social media just like we do. And so we need to think before we post. I know that sounds funny, but that's what it's all about. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so that's something we need to do. We need to think before we post. Now, I know you've never heard of this one, but this one, I want you to understand, we need to be on time. Just be on time. What do you think your employer thinks if you're late every day? They're going to think you're not really interested in this job. What do you think God thinks when we show up to church every Sunday late? I mean, we will put more emphasis on being to work on our job than it is to being on time at the Lord's house. And so being on time goes a long way. I remember my dad, he told me that one time, every time he would come to work, the boss was, he was waiting. The boss, he'd come to work, the boss would get there, he's already waiting. And so the boss said, look, Willie, he says, you're already here. He says, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you the key. I want you to open up. I want you to put the coffee on and be ready when I get here. So he did that. You know what? He told me he got a nickel raise. And he was excited about that nickel raise. And he got that nickel raise for being on time. You think it's no big deal, but it is. It goes a long way to your credibility. Because if we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. Being on time is a way to protect our reputation. And the reason we need to protect our reputation is that we may have an influence in the world that people will want to hear what we have to say about Jesus Christ. And so I want to go back to those four players from Alabama. Do you think their parents told them, don't do this and don't do this, watch where you go, watch? Do you think the parents instructed them what to do and what not to do? They just didn't listen. Are those players from Steubenville, those players that messed with that young lady, do you think the parents told them? And so what we need to do is listen to what our parents tell us and apply those things in our lives. And if we do that, then when we speak, people will be willing to listen. We won't even have to speak loud. Just speak, and people are strained to listen to what we have to say because we have protected our reputation. Just being on time. Being on time is something that that we must do. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Another thing I thought of about protecting your reputation is just doing your best. Do you do your best? When it comes to your Bible class work, do you study it? When it comes, I was so impressed with Jude. You heard him quoting those Bible verses. And, you know, do you do your best? Just whatever that you try, just do your best. Mediocrity shouldn't be a word that's used for Christians. We should strive for excellence. We should strive for quality. You know, my parents used to say, if you're not going to do it right, just don't do it at all. I know you never heard any of these sayings. If you're not planning on finishing it, don't start it. And God deserves our best, right? I mean, God deserves the best that we have to offer to Him. The best as I prepare for this lesson, or the best as you prepare for school, or the best wherever we are. God deserves our best. And so how we protect our reputation is just doing the very best job you can. I go to places and people say, Brother Jackson, I know you're going to do a great job. And I say, I'm just going to do the best I can. Keep that pressure off of me, you know. Hey, I'm just going to do the best I can. And if you do that, that's all God is asking. And so we need to protect our reputation. And one of them, how we protect our reputation, is just do the very best you can. Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your master, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and the singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Whatever we do, however we serve, is really we're serving Christ. We're doing the best we can because really we're serving Christ, and we're trying to get people to understand that we're not trying to just be look people eye service or look pleasers or, you know, the rest of it. Verse 6, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. When we do work, when we do things for the Lord, is it from the heart? Are we trying to do our best? Because our reputation is so important. You know how many people have done things and they wish they could take it back? They wish they could go back and change the things that they have done. Do not throw your reputation away. It's very valuable. It's very valuable because it will help us to be influential to other people. Another thought-provoking thought that I came up with as far as protecting your reputation is show appreciation. You know how much thank you goes? You know how far thank you goes? Just saying thank you. You know, kids today, they don't say thank you. Please. You know, I know I'm telling you some stuff you never heard of. Please. You know where I come from? My parents said I had to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. No, you know how far that goes? Just showing appreciation for things. If you, you know, my mom told me one time some people had given me some things, and I didn't value. She said, just say thank you, keep your mouth shut. And that goes a long way. If we just teach our children, listen, be appreciative of what people do for you. You know, sometimes people want to take you places, and sometimes I just don't feel up to it. But, you know, if they want to spend time with me, I want to spend time with them. I'm sure when I invite people to certain things, maybe they don't want to come, but they go. So we just be appreciative. Just go the extra mile to be a part of somebody's life, because that's what it's all about. Yes and no. All right, brother. Luke 17:15. Luke 17:15.
Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Mm-hmm. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Mm-hmm. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Mm-hmm. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.
All right. There were 10 lepers cleansed. Only one of them gave thanks. Have you ever done something for somebody they didn't even bother to say thank you? You think you'll try to do much for them in the future? And so that's what we need to do. We need to learn to say thank you. So I'm going to open it up. I'm going to open up the floor now. And I want to know, how can we show gratitude to people that do things for us? Okay, let's not all speak at one time then. How do we show gratitude for those? You know how far a thank you card goes? I mean, a thank you card goes a long way. And just little things like that, that we can do to show thankfulness for things that people have done for us. I still call preachers that helped me when I was first starting out. Just try to keep in contact with them. The one preacher, he's not preaching very much. But I try to stay in contact with him to show him my appreciation and the things that he has done for me. So that's what I'm asking you. How do we show our gratitude for things that people have done for us? Yes, sir. Right.
But sometimes we assume people know that we appreciate them, but if we don't say it, right, then they won't hear it.
Doesn't that go a long way? That goes a long way. Just people saying thank you or showing some appreciation for that. Yes, sir. Yes.
Because they deal with problems that you need to have. They don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And being trying to take burdens off of them is what you should do.
Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. You know, when you made it in our neighborhood, when you made it, you helped somebody else. So you go back and, like you say, pay it forward. You try to help somebody else who's going through many of the same struggles that you're going through. But we need to keep in mind, sometimes I think as we're working and as we work on jobs, you know, we need to treat those people who are our boss, or we need to treat them with respect, because one day you may be the boss. The shoe may be on the other foot. And so we need to treat each other with respect. Even the boss, when they treat the employee, they need to realize one day that same employee may be their boss. And so, yeah, we need to pay it forward. We need to show respect to one another, even in places where there are some lines of hierarchy that we need to understand that we're all just children of God. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, what happened if your mother gets to be 150? You still have to honor her? Yeah. Some people say, well, my parent is old, and, you know, no. It's still your parent. You know, Bill Cosby said, I brought you in, I'll take you out. So we still must honor our... You know how many people don't realize that today? I mean, you guys need to come and visit us in South Florida. Go into the grocery store and the kids talk to their parents like they're trash. And the parents give into it. The kids are raising the parents aren't raising the kids. You know, and if the kid wants something, the kid will fall down on the floor there in Winn-Dixie or Publix and won't move till he gets it. And, you know, then you put them in, they put them in time out and this out and every kind of out. And there's no discipline anymore. And so what happens is the people honoring their parents and showing respect, and just like you say, showing respect to the elders, and eventually what that shows us is that we need to ultimately show respect to God. It's a chain reaction. It's to show respect and show submission, because ultimately we all submit to God. But if you don't learn how to submit, you know what? When they get you downtown to the police station, they'll show you how to submit. And so it's better that we try to teach our children these things, because if we don't, somebody will. And you don't want them to teach. And so that's, you know, I was telling Jeff, we just come from two different societies, you know, and I can only relate to where I'm from. And I'm trying to tell you that down in South Florida, if somebody cut you off, just don't say anything, because they liable to take out a gun and shoot you. I was telling Jeff, if somebody bump your bumper, don't get out of the car to see what's going on, because they'll rob you. And my wife was revealing the story, when you pump your gas, you have to lock your doors, because if you leave your purse in the front seat, they'll sneak down beside your car and take your purse. And so that's the world we're living in. So it's important for us to have a good repetition. It's important for us to teach our children these things. Just be appreciative for what God has done for you, what your parents have done for you, and just learn to say thank you. Did I see another hand? Did I see some other hand? Okay. Mm-hmm. Brother, I have the sword. I have the right to cut you, right? I got the sword. I can use it, right? That's what it's here for, right? I'm supposed to put you in your place. But no, like you said, let your words be seasoned with salt. I think many Christians think that they're supposed to win the argument. We're supposed to win the Christian, the person. It's not about winning the argument. It's about winning the person. We got the truth. The truth will win. But it's trying to talk to that person in a way to get the gain of soul. And sometimes it's hard. I know when you have the truth and you want to, you know, we have a radio program there, and we have an open mic. Well, it's not an open mic, but people could call in and ask questions. And, you know, I was telling the one show was about women preachers. And I was reading the scripture where women aren't supposed to preach. And the lady called in and she said, "Preacher, did I hear you say women couldn't preach?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "God did." She said, "God said no such a thing." Hung up the phone. But I just read the scripture that said you can't do that. And so we could, you know, we have the truth, and we want to defend. We want to tell them, but we have to do it in a way to gain the person. And that's what it's all about. And so when God comes back, he's not going to say, "Well, how many arguments did you win?" He wants to know how many souls did we bring to him. So I think we just need to retrain our brain and think in the way of, it's all about God. It's all about, everything we do is about Jesus. Everything we do is about Christ. It's all about bringing glory to him. So we need to show our appreciation. Also, the last thing I thought of is what I just said. Everything we do is to bring glory to God. The reason we choose our friends wisely, and the reason we keep our word, and the reason we think before we speak, and think before we post, and be on time, and do your best, and show appreciation. Everything we do is to bring glory to God. That's who we are. That's what we are. We're Christians. That's our job, is to bring glory to God and Christ. And so that's why it says in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid." Do you think of yourself as a city that's set on a hill? That everybody can see you, and everybody's going to see how you react to these things, and everybody's going to see how prompt you are and how polite you are, and if you say thank you, and if you show up, everybody, you're a city that's set on a hill. Can you imagine in a desolate place, and you're looking for salvation, and all of a sudden you see this city that's set on a hill with all these lights, and you know that there's salvation. A city represents salvation. A city represents safety. A city is a place where you can find food and water. A city is a place that in that time represented salvation. So what we are is a city that's set on a hill. And we got to let our light shine. Everything we do is to bring glory to God. Verse 14, you are a light of the world, a city that's set on the hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth life unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father, which is in heaven. Everything we do is to glorify our Father. So that's why our reputation is important. So I want to know, have you protected your reputation? Do you practice these things that I'm talking about to protect your reputation so that they can't talk about the South Fayetteville Church of Christ? Because the things that they say cannot be what, how we really live our lives. So that's what it's all about. It's all about doing those things. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15,
do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, mm-hmm. rightly handling the word of truth. Mm-hmm. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness.
Okay. So, how's your reputation? What can we do to improve our reputation? Because ultimately, everything we do is to bring glory to God. And if we keep the main thing, that's very important. And so we need to just keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is to make it to heaven. It's not about my reputation. It's not about anything else. It's about bringing glory to God in how we live our lives. So how do we stack up with that? So I got 5 minutes. I need some response. Preacher? The preacher always has a word. Right. But can we cut people however we want to cut them?
You said earlier that sometimes we use the word sword as a person. Mm-hmm. And I remember being guilty of that myself. Mm-hmm. It's like feeling like, well, you got the answer, so you can sort of kind of make this argument, show somebody you know more than they do. Mm-hmm. But we're doing that, we're trying to glorify ourselves.
Right. Right.
The goal is to glorify God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've read a lot of debates and listened to a lot of debates, and I mean they were pretty cutthroat. I mean, they might have won the argument, but they sure didn't win those people that was listening to it. But they were standing on the word, and so I think that we need to try to win souls. Yes, sir. Right. And so, you know, I've been guilty of that before. You know, just I'm going to win this argument, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it took me a long time to realize that God doesn't care about you winning the argument. God cares about that person that's in front of you. And so that's something we have to learn. Yes, sir. Is that easy? Right. 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 But none of us hit the ground walking like that. I mean, it's a process that we learn over time, and we learn how to grow and learn how to be patient and loving, because we were glad Jesus was patient and loving with us. And so it's a process that we learn. And that's something you develop as a Christian. Yes, sir. But how do you get to that point? Trial and error. You learn as you, but if you never go out and try to talk to somebody, you'll never know when to cut it off. You'll never know what to say. So as we go through trial and error trying to evangelize, we learn. We learn it's a time to talk and it's a time to shut up. And so that's something we learn.
We got 5 minutes.
Okay. So. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. But I think that we need to consider these things as far as trying to maintain the best reputation we can. You know, we need to consider how we choose our friends and those the circles that we have. And we need to consider keeping our word, just being a person of our word. We say we're going to do something, we really need to try to do it. We just don't know how far that goes. And we need to consider to think before we speak. If you just take a few seconds to think before you blurt out what's on your mind, it'll help you a lot. And if we just realize that in the society that we have, just because that word, that post button or that enter button or whatever it is there, doesn't mean you have to tell the whole world everything. Christians shouldn't have inappropriate pictures and whatever you get ready to send, you should think, would God be pleased with that before we do that? And to protect our reputation, we really need to be on time, be punctual. You know, I was just telling Jeff about a preacher that didn't even show up for a gospel meeting. You know, that makes all preachers look bad. My wife and I went to one congregation for a Wednesday night Bible class. It was supposed to start at 7:30. The preacher showed up about 7:45. So, you know, these things just are so important for us to protect our reputation. Also, just to do your best. Put your best foot forward. Just put some time, put some effort, put some study. Just do your best. Whenever you're doing anything, especially for the Lord, do your best. That's what we need to do. And also, you know, just say thank you. Show some appreciation. Thank you. Please. Yes, sir. No, sir. And, you know, I think here in this area, I'm sure that's taught quite a bit. But I'm telling you, down where we are, if you hear a yes, sir, or a no, sir, it'll shock you. You know, they have speakers in the car, and when you pull up beside them, your whole car is shaking from their speakers. You know what they have now? They have the speakers in the grill of the car. They have the speakers facing outside so you can enjoy their music just like they are enjoying their music. And so these things, and then the profanity that's in the music is crazy. You know, when I was young, if you said a curse word, you didn't want to say it around your parents. You respected older people. Now, they could care less how old you are. Nobody respects anybody. And so this is imperative that we teach our young people this so that we can protect our reputation. There should be a line of demarcation between us and them. Also, everything we do, give God the glory. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm here today. Give God the glory. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Right, but that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But. But it is taking a long time for us to get to this point. Nobody hits the ground running. Nobody, you know, we're all learning that in order to get to where God would have us to be, we need to change. We need to change our minds, and we need to change our attitudes, and, you know, just to be humble. But when you come out of the world, that's not a humble. Humility is not something that, you know, the world knows. It's me first. I'll push you down to get to the first place. So. All right. Thank you very much for the class. Hey.